Hey everybody, it's Jake from Gamers with Glasses. I'm here with Doug. It's Friday the 28th, and we're going to start off talking about the Xbone versus the PS4.
I feel like after that we should really have like a rocking intro.
I feel we should. Maybe not a rocking intro, but maybe like just any kind of intro.
Yeah.
Any kind of intro music in general.
Yeah. Well, so I think welcome to our first inaugural podcast.
Yes, Jake. Welcome. This is our very first podcast.
You know, it's kind of funny, with these headphones on, I can actually hear you better.
Yeah, can you?
Than without the headphones on.
Yeah, I think that's why they're better, is because I can actually hear everything like crystal clear.
Yeah.
They're really nice. Okay, enough about headphones. Let's get on to our first topic of the Xbone and the PS4.
So what are you going with this here?
I guess we should start off by saying, I am a Sony fan, and you are more of a Microsoft fan.
I'm more of a Microsoft fan, but I like to think of myself that I look at it objectively, at least.
I am more of a fan of Sony, but the thing is,
I'm a gamer. Huge fanboy.
Yeah, I'm a gamer. I like video games in general, whether they be Xbox or PS3 or
something. Right, and I mean, for years you had an Xbox.
Yeah, too. I've had my Xbox 360 for... Jeez, what is it? Seven,
probably
maybe
since
8 years.
About.
Yeah, I've had it since launch, so I really have enjoyed the console. It's not a bad console, definitely isn't. I do prefer the PS3, but
tell us why do you prefer the PS3, and why do you expect that the PS4 is going to be better?
Well, it's kind of a different thing. The reason I like the PS3 more is mostly because of the PlayStation Plus, the free multiplayer, and the PlayStation Plus. They've given me well over. They've given me so many games that it's pretty much paid for the PS3 itself.
Yeah.
I haven't bought a lot of games for my PS3 because I'm mostly playing it for exclusives. I like to play everything else on my Xbox, mostly just because I've had it for longer and I've purchased more things for it.
Right, we have over, like, 200 games.
Oh, yeah, definitely. But yeah, I like the PS3 just for that matter. I feel like Sony is caring about me by giving me all this stuff, which Microsoft is finally starting to do. With their releasing two games every month up until, what is it?
Starting in July.
It starts in July and it goes to, there are rumors that it's going to stop after the Xbox One release.
Really?
But that's just, rumors.
Well, I would expect it to not stop after the Xbox One. Yeah. Maybe pause for a while because, I mean, you know, in an interview, Major Nelson, you know, or Angry Joshua was asking Major Nelson, with all this DRM, are you going to, have like Steam like sales, and he said, well, no, definitely not at first, because so I would expect it to pause for a little bit maybe, but I don't think it would stop.
I'm not sure. I don't think it's going to stop completely. Like, those are just rumors.
I
definitely feel like they're trying to compete their best with Sony now, and stopping would be bad for them. So I don't think they are going to stop, but Sony is definitely not stopping. Freight train there. They just keep going with the PlayStation Plus. Very first, they're as soon as you buy a PS3, that whole month, they're giving you Drive Club, three indie games, which they've showed, which I'm actually very excited for. Outlast, which is a survival horror setting. It looks really cool. It looks like... Because I've played Amnesia, but I really couldn't get into it.
Yeah.
And Outlast just looks really nice and scary, and it looks like that type of game that's just going to make me shit my pants.
Yeah. I agree that PS4 definitely is winning right now.
Yeah.
But I think that everybody's given Xbox One maybe a little bit too much crap.
I definitely agree with you there that, I understand why they're giving it crap, mostly because of their policies beforehand and what they were trying to do.
Right, well, and, you know, that doesn't matter now. But what's bugging me is people are still saying, well, they tried it once, so let's still not buy it. And I think that's a little unfair.
I think that's unfair. But people are stubborn. I mean, now that they feel like Xbox isn't going to care about them, and Xbox is going to enforce all these crazy policies.
Oh man, you know, this sucks with all the DRM, and then they reverse the DRM, and it's like, wow, what flip-floppers? It's like, come on, really?
Yeah, nobody's going to be happy with what they're doing right now, but I don't feel like that's really going to matter in the long run.
Yeah.
I mean, the only thing I think that's really going to matter right now is that their price point of $500.
Right. And, you know, that has been said because of the Kinect 2.
Yeah. That's the reason why it's $100 more is because of the Kinect 2. Which, it's honestly the reason I'm not going to be picking up an Xbox One.
Honestly, I think I'm in a way excited for the Kinect 2.0. Because, you know... We haven't played the Kinect much.
Oh, no. I've played lots of great games for my Kinect, like
but whenever we did play it seemed like we had a ton of fun.
Like, just off the top of my head, one of the greatest games I've ever played was...
Star Wars?
Yeah, Star Wars for the... If I was a game reviewer, I would give that game a 10 out of 10. There is nothing wrong with that. It had so much depth. The story was incredible. It was the single-handedly, hands down, the best game I've ever even touched. All thanks to the Kinect.
I really hope people get your sarcasm.
I'm pretty sure they will. That game is fucking terrible.
Great. It's not the worst thing ever. The first time, because, you know, after my Xbox started becoming shit, you know, and I went and I picked up the Xbox Slim or whatever this is called.
The latest model. Well, not the latest one. Not the latest one. Coming out with the new one. Oh, yay!
But, you know, when I got the Kinect, you know, and we played Kinect Adventures, that was pretty fun. And I think with the advanced software, I think it's going to be even cooler, you know? I mean, yeah, it's kind of a gimmick, but everything's really a gimmick.
The thing I'm going to like about the Kinect is now that it's not so much a cheesy gimmick anymore, because now every developer can integrate some kind of Kinect functionality
game. What I would love, you know, with all the pinpoints is RPGs just scanning your face, you know, and you're in the game. I think that would be amazing.
Like Rainbow Six did with their... Right, you could take a picture.
Tony Hawk Underground.
Oh, yeah,
Which fucking sucked.
Yeah.
But it was still
It was really
cool.
Crappy, but it was nice.
Yeah.
The thing, what I feel the Kinect is going to really thrive for is, like, Mass Effect 3 with the voice commands.
Yeah.
Like, I don't play my Kinect at all, really, but Mass Effect 3 voice commands, just commanding my squad, it immerses me more.
Yeah.
It makes the whole experience a lot more fun.
What I really hope for next gen, you know, what I've always wanted, which is extremely tough to do, and I don't know how they would do it, is kind of like where you can just, in Fallout, you know, instead of having these select things you can say, just when you're talking to someone, just be like, well, that's fucking weird, and it picks it up as, you know, some command tree somewhere, and it, you know, the audio is like that, you know, and you can say whatever you want, and it distinguishes it as a certain command line.
I definitely don't think that's going to be next gen, but I feel like that is going to be the future, at least what I'm hoping for. Because I think that's what everybody's wanted to do.
Yeah.
Like ever since you started playing video games, it's always kind of been like, man, I wish I was just in this game to where I could say whatever the fuck I wanted and do whatever the hell I want to do. Kind of like an open world GTA.
Yeah.
With voice commands and have the AI dynamically respond to you.
Mm.
I think that's going to be the future of video games, and that's where it's going to be, like, the funnest ever.
Yeah.
But until then, I'm perfectly fine with what we have now.
Yeah. Another thing that I'm really hoping for the Xbox One, which I think it does have an advantage over of the PS4, is just, you know, switch from program to program. And I told you about this before. What I really hope, you know, it comes with Internet Explorer, and what they were saying was the Snap features. And what I really hope is that I can be playing a game, and then, like, want a walkthrough or something like that, or there's a problem with the game or something like that, and I could just say, Kinect, go to Internet Explorer, look up, let's just say, Oblivion froze, or something like that, and it, you know, gives me, like, Google, you know, and I can just choose one of the links, and then I can just be like, oh, okay, and snap right back into the game, kind of like what I do on a PC. I think that would be amazing.
Yeah, that actually kind of reminds me of what the PS Vita does.
Yeah.
Because with the PS Vita's home button, you press it and it completely just pauses the game, and you can go do pretty much whatever. You can do, like, with any app you have, you can pretty much open it and use it, aside from starting another game.
Right.
So I could, like, press the home screen on my Vita, go over to the internet, look up something real quick, and just hop right back in the game exactly where I was.
Right.
So,
and I think that would be awesome.
That would be really nice to do. But like I said, like my response to that was, I have my phone for that.
Yeah.
So I just...
But I hate using my phone.
Yeah, well, I don't.
I hate using my phone for the internet.
I think it's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
But I do understand where you're coming from.
I just don't like the keyboard.
And
I feel like mobile has kind of a different, not layout, but different almost search results sometimes. Like, it'll have different results from when I get on PC.
You're weird. I never had that problem.
Well, how often do you use a PC to search stuff up?
That's true. I don't, because I have my phone.
Or at least the same stuff.
Yeah, well, I don't, because I just use my phone.
I get completely different links on my phone.
Oh, yeah?
Than on my PC.
Yeah, when I'm searching up, like, bestiality stuff, yeah. I don't find anything on the PC usually. But I find all the stuff on my phone.
Yeah.
So, I think that's definitely an advantage for mobile, though. Mobile definitely has a lot more bestiality porn.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
I just prefer it.
Well,
you know?
Okay, so, you know, and another thing is that I'm a much bigger fan of the Xbox controller than you.
Oh, yeah, that's also a thing.
Like, you have orgasms.
DualShock is my baby, and it has bring me to DualShock orgasms.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful. It's magnificent. I feel personally that the Xbox controller is heavier and clunkier than the DualShock.
Right, and a lot more people agree with me than you. You know, I think from what I've seen from opinions about controllers.
Uh-huh, oh sure.
What, you don't think so?
I didn't say anything.
But I definitely I like the Xbox controller so much more than the DualShock.
That's just a matter of opinion though.
I just don't like where the thumbsticks are.
Both the controllers are great. Yeah. I would.
And it seems like from the. Not think of what it's called, but from the previews of the next Xbox One controller, it seems like they fixed the D-pad, which was the main.
Oh yeah,
problem.
Yeah. I don't know if they have or not, but I really hope they did because if they release another shitty fucking D-pad and they don't change it along the lines of their console lifespan, mm-hmm. I'm gonna be really upset again.
Yeah, I hope that the Xbox One controller has a longer lifespan because that was also the main problem.
I believe. Well, what do you mean by that?
Well, like, you know, when I'm playing with my charge kit on my Xbox
controller,
you know, and I use the chat pad all the time with it, which I know is kind of weird, but I like the bigger feel. I think the chat pad takes a lot of battery, or not a lot, but some battery.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I could probably play 6 hours on one charge.
I believe that the PS3 controller, whenever your PS4 controller, I believe they said whenever your PS4 goes into sleep mode, it automatically charges your controller.
Yeah, somehow.
I don't know how.
Yeah.
But they say
they are experimenting with wireless power.
Yeah.
But everybody's like, ooh, wireless power. I don't think that's what it's going to be.
Well, I don't know if it is going to be,
but
if it is,
like,
that's pretty cool.
Extremely expensive. I mean, it's in, like, its infancy right now, wireless power.
Yeah, well, I don't know what they're going to do with it, but either way, the PS3 controller's battery life I have is completely fine.
You know what I think would
I have
be
no
cool,
problem with it.
And I don't know how they would do it,
like,
but...
2-3 days.
A cool thing I think they could do, especially with the PS4 controller, since it's a lot less, since there's not as much rumble with it, you know, so it takes less batteries. I think it'd be cool if they made it solar powered.
Solar power controller.
Yeah,
that would be interesting.
Because we have more and more. I mean, you know, watches run on it.
Here's the thing, as a gamer, I'm never in the sun.
Well, so, I mean, it takes.
You're talking about
light.
From light.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that would be cool.
That would be
charge it.
That would be
kind of
nice.
And then when you turn it off,
it automatically just charges.
Yeah.
That would be really cool, but I think with that would also be a ridiculous amount of money.
Yeah. Not really. I mean,
well,
watches, you know, and I mean, it'd be like
kind of
times 2 the price of a watch, which it already is.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Maybe. We'll see.
We'll see.
I don't think they're going to do it. But that would be a nice idea. I think
the main problem, also one of the main problems I have, I don't like the triggers on the PS3 controller.
Yeah, I do.
I just don't, because they're kind of, like, flat, and then you pull it back, kind of.
Yeah.
And I like the trigger feel of the Xbox controller.
Yeah. I don't.
Yeah.
I mean, it's nice, but I just really prefer the PS3 controller than to the Xbox's controller right now.
Yeah.
But that's... I would have to say I'm biased to that because I started
with
the PlayStation controller.
I started with
like the DualShock One.
Xbox original.
Yeah.
I can't call it an Xbox One.
Yeah.
How many times am I going to make that?
You could call it an Xbox One and just call the latest Xbox the X-Bone.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Why?
I don't know.
I
accidentally did it the other day.
But seriously.
I was at GameStop and I was talking to somebody about it and I said the X-Bone. And he was like, the what? And I was like, Xbox One.
Oh, have you never been on the internet?
Yeah. One cool thing that looks really cool with the Xbox One controller, and I know we've probably talked 10 minutes now about controllers, is the rumble on the triggers. Have you heard about that?
Yeah, I've
heard
a little
this?
Bit
have
about
you seen
it.
This?
I haven't seen it, but I've heard about it.
No, but so what they say they want to do with it is with racing games and then gun games.
Yeah.
It's harder to pull like a sniper rifle trigger.
Yeah.
Than like a assault rifle.
Yeah.
And I think that's really cool.
That's a pretty cool idea. I don't know, though. You don't know. I won't be able to experience it. Certainly not at first.
What else are you excited about with the PS4?
With the PS4, I'm certainly excited about PlayStation Plus, that they are keeping it. One of the things...
They are some charging people, $5 a month, though. And I think people...
It's not $5 a month.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not.
What is it?
That is wrong. It is... It's just, if you pay for the year subscription, it's only $5 a month for these four games you're going to get and the online services. But you don't have to pay $5 each month. It's a one-time thing.
Oh, okay.
It's just so described as $5 a month to make it look, to show so just like, how cheap it is.
So
to
it's
show.
$60.
Okay. Yeah, it's 50. PlayStation is then 50 bucks.
Then it wouldn't be $5 a month.
Well, I don't fucking know, Doug.
It'd be 60.
Well, it's 50 right now. I don't know if they're going to up that price or change it.
$3 a month.
Well, we will see.
What are you doing? Are you doing math?
No, I'm looking it up right now.
Okay.
So keep talking. I'm going
to
look it up.
On your phone, by the way. I would like to tell people that.
Yeah, on my phone.
You're using your phone to look it up.
Naturally.
So, you know, the main problem I have with the PS3 even, and then I think with the PS4, I'm not sure, is the OS. I don't like the feel of the OS.
Yeah.
I much more like the feel of the Xbox 360s. And I think they're using, like, a modified Windows 8. And I think that's what Windows 8 was made for, was Xbox, was consoles and tablets. And I think it's going to be great.
Yeah, it's $50 a year.
$50 a year, okay.
$49.99 for a year. On that subject.
So that's not... Yeah, that's not...
Well, you know what?
Who cares?
Who cares?
Yeah, whatever.
So I don't care. It's whatever. It's fine. The only thing they changed about it is that you have to pay for online now. But
yeah,
keeping all those servers up is...
Yeah, no,
it costs money.
You know, and I said before, I try and look at things objectively as I can, and I think people are freaking out way too much about this PS. I mean, there are some logical people who have said, who cares? You know, it's still less than Microsoft's Xbox Live.
Yeah.
But some people are just like, this is going to kill the PS4.
Yeah. I definitely,
like,
think that's
why?
Way overdoing it.
Yeah.
Because if you're like me and you like free games and you buy PS Plus anyway...
The only thing that I can see killing the PS4 with this is if they don't have, like, 3 months for $15. If they just charge
$15... No, I think 3 months is $17.
Right. So, okay, that's fine. I'm saying, you know, if they have just one card for $50,
yeah, they don't.
That's gonna be messed up.
Yeah, which they don't. And I think you can also pay monthly with your credit card.
Well, that's good.
But I'm not sure.
I just
buy.
If they just charge $50,
yeah,
then a lot of people wouldn't buy it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I definitely agree there. That would be a poor marketing choice.
Yeah.
But they're not doing that. So, yeah, I feel no way this is going to kill the PS4 at all, but I do understand why people are upset, because, like, maybe the main reason they bought their PS3 is because they can't afford that. They can't afford to have PS Plus,
yeah,
so they want to play free multiplayer.
You know, online or a game.
Yeah. Which, $50 for year-long service isn't bad, but honestly, that's the thing I didn't like so much about Microsoft.
Right.
I have to pay $60 to use Netflix, to use online, to play games online, to get the full experience out of my game. I gotta pay $60 a year.
Well, plus you gotta pay... You don't, because I do, but... you would normally have to pay Netflix, too.
Yeah.
Which is another charge, and Hulu, and stuff like that.
Well, the thing is, if I'm already paying for Netflix and Hulu, I should be able to watch them.
Yeah.
Regardless of Xbox's policies.
In a way, it does seem like...
Which is what PS4, PS3 does. I can watch Netflix... If I have PlayStation Plus or not.
Yeah, but don't you have to have the disc, or is that gone now?
What do you mean?
Didn't you used to have a disc to use Netflix?
No.
I'm pretty sure you used to.
I don't know. What are you talking about?
You used to have a disc to use Netflix on the PS3.
No.
Yeah, you used to.
Are you talking about me personally? Because I never...
No, not you, but...
I've never, ever heard of this before.
Oh, well, it's a thing. You used to.
Or maybe you're just crazy.
Okay. Well, let the two viewers decide. In a way, it makes sense why they would charge that much.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it is a lot of servers that they have to run. I mean, and Xbox is a lot more popular than the PS3.
Yeah.
So it's gonna have more servers.
Yeah.
So
I think Xbox is doing some astronomical amount of, like, 500,000 servers.
Yeah, or something like that.
It's a really big number. So I'm not surprised now that they're doing it, but I feel like they shouldn't have done it on Xbox 360. But it's their choice.
I mean, it has a lot. The Xbox 360 is a lot more popular than the PS3.
I don't know, I just definitely prefer the PlayStation 3 well over the Xbox 360, yeah. And I feel with the upcoming generation... Well,
let me shake your hand and say we handled this civilly.
We did handle this civilly, you civilly. Stupid Xbox fucking fanboy.
So let's move on to the next topic. What's the next topic, Jake?
The next topic, I would... E3. Your thoughts, your feelings about it. What's the favorite thing you saw?
You know, I was a little disappointed with E3 this year, to be honest.
Really?
Because I felt like we saw... It was either crappy games I didn't give a shit about, mostly.
Yeah.
Or stuff we've already seen before. You know, like Watch Dogs. What I was really...
So you're saying Division was crappy and you didn't care about it?
Division was cool. I agree. Division was really cool. But thing is, it's just another shooter with pretty more graphics. You know, with pretty.
I completely disagree with that.
You think so?
It's a Memorpga.
Yeah. And I did get really excited, though.
It's like a post-apocalyptic Memorpga. And it looks... Okay, this is the thing. Me and you are going to be playing through this open-world type thing, and it's going to be fantastic. It's going to be awesome. We're going to have a ton of fun.
The thing is that, you know, Destiny is already coming out.
Yeah.
And Borderlands is out, you know. And
yeah. Are you saying we don't need another fun co-op game?
No, I'm definitely not saying that. It's just... I don't know. The thing I think it was Division, was the cool glass.
Yeah, that was the Division.
You know me, I get excited about small things. Like, I hate when hands and feet are done poorly.
Yeah.
You know, and I get really pissed off about it.
You nitpick stuff.
Yeah, I nitpick the crap out of stuff. In fact, that's a series
we want to make, most likely, is
just nitpicking the crap out of games.
Yeah.
And, you know, trying not to form our opinion just on the nitpicks.
Yeah.
But having a specific series about it.
Mostly, not so much a serious series, just kind of do it sarcastically, going through and pointing out every little thing.
Well, maybe
you'll
do it sarcastically.
But I'm going to do it completely sarcastically.
I won't.
Oh.
You know, but I'm really, really disappointed that I didn't show anything about Deep Down.
Yeah.
That was like...
I really wanted to see that.
I really, really wanted to see that, and I was disappointed that
I
didn't show anything.
I heard that it might be... PS4 exclusive.
Yeah.
But I don't think so because it is Capcom we're talking about here.
Yeah.
Which I think the last exclusive they've done was Monster Hunter on the Wii.
Really?
Yes. They don't do exclusives as much, not so much recently as they have in the past.
All right, we are back. Sorry about that.
We got some bad news.
Yeah, we lost our D&D group. We're so depressed.
D&D's canceled this week. I'm gonna go hang myself.
Yeah, Jake, we just made Jake the DM, you know, because I used to be the DM and I just don't have time anymore. Yeah. And we just made Jake the DM and we haven't gotten a single game in
I've been working hard on the campaign for like a week and a half. And then I was looking forward to going this week and we all got it set up and one of our members gets called into work. And now I'm going to crawl inside a ditch and hide away from the world.
Yeah.
Roll for sadness. Anyway,
yeah, roll for sadness.
Critical fail.
What is that? Is that from?
That's from Dick Figures.
Oh, okay, that's right.
That show is funny.
Anyway, so let's continue talking about E3. So, yes. what were you most excited about at E3? We were talking about the nitpicking.
Oh, that's right.
One thing I thought was really cool from The Division was the glass not shattering from the bullets. I was just having bullet holes in them, seeming like they weren't just disappearing. And what I thought was really cool was they were appearing on both sides of the car.
Yeah.
On both windows.
Yeah, the Division just looks great regardless.
It does look great.
So.
Yeah. One thing I do hope for, you know, because what I saw mostly from the PS4 at E3 from its games were kind of more... What they were taking advantage of the next generation was better graphics.
Yeah.
Instead of more, like, cool gameplay features, you know? Yeah.
Well, it's not so much... I don't know the cool gameplay features. Because I haven't, like, seen any yet.
That's true.
I haven't really seen any gameplay of
You know, and do you think that's a problem?
Really.
I mean, I feel like...
I don't think it's a problem yet.
With just a couple months away, it seems like we haven't seen any games from any gameplay.
They're not a couple months away. It's this holiday season. It's like
6 months away.
Yeah, 6 months.
So a few months away.
Yeah.
I feel like we haven't seen any gameplay from many PS4 titles.
They are going to be at Gamescom, announcing many more titles, and I assume showing stuff off.
Yeah, I hope they show gameplay, because I feel like with Dead Rising 3, we got to see definitely what the Xbox One can do.
Yeah.
You know, with gameplay, with like 10 billion fucking zombies on screen at the same time.
Yeah.
What did you think of that, by the way, Dead Rising 3?
Personally, I don't know if they're taking away from the serious of the game, like, I feel like they're making the game more seriousness.
Yeah.
Making the game more serious. And in which case, if they do, I'm going to feel a little bit bad.
I won't.
I will. I will miss the old Dead Rising.
Well, because I felt like Dead Rising 2 was definitely a step in the more serious direction.
I don't.
You don't? I mean,
Putting on novelty glasses and a dress.
Yeah,
and
but the story
punching zombies
of it,
with knives taped to boxing gloves? No, that I don't see any
the
seriousness.
The story of it, you know, your child's dying, you know. You have to give her insulin or whatever, the cure.
Zombrex,
yeah, once every couple hours.
Yeah, I didn't do that. She died and I laughed.
Wow.
And then I proceeded to roll around in a wheelchair, shooting zombies. I feel like Rambo.
Yeah.
It was great. It's a perfect game. I like Dead Rising for the reason of putting on women's clothes and rubbing my nipples while I'm bathing in gallons of zombie blood.
Oh, okay.
I like to put lampshades on people. I like to dress my zombies up before I stab them in the face 37 times. And I don't know if Dead Rising is going to do that.
That's a complaint from a lot of people. But at the end of the... towards the end of the gameplay, I mean, he threw a stick with a chainsaw on it and cut a zombie in half. I mean, come on. That's pretty funny.
But he was not wearing a dress when he did it. That's my only problem.
Okay. But what did you think of the graphics of it?
Graphics look pretty good.
They do look really good.
They definitely aren't bad.
And I feel like it's a lot more open world, too.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a lot more open than the previous two titles.
And it's definitely a town, and I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah, like, I think it was cool when they had that little town in the XBLA title.
Case Zero.
Yeah, I like that. I like the kind of towny feel it had.
Yeah.
I thought that was nice. I'm going to talk about some of the things I liked.
Okay.
Just personally. Pretty much everything by Ubisoft looked good. I didn't care very much for Rocksmith, but everything else looked nice. Watch Dogs. Rocksmith is the one where you learn how to play guitar.
Oh, I'll be honest. I didn't watch a ton of E3.
Yeah.
Much.
I did.
I didn't watch live streams. I kind of watched the recaps of E3.
I watched live stream and the recaps and everything else.
Yeah. Anyway.
And, that looked nice. Just everything from Ubisoft. Watch Dogs looked great. The Division
looked
great.
Watch Dogs looked great.
And I am excited.
It was funny, though. While I was watching the Watch Dogs trailer.
Yeah.
He was hitting people with a stick.
Yeah.
And I was going through it, I was like, is this like Batman where he doesn't like kill people? And then right as I said that, he shot the guy right in the face. And I was like, oh, yeah, he's a murderer type of dude.
Well, I think
or he's a vengeance type of dude.
He's a vigilante.
Yeah.
And with that, I feel like, I'm not sure, but I think you can go through without killing anyone.
Yeah.
Like, you can be that type of guy who just goes through and beats the shit out of everyone and just leaves them all on the ground for the police to come pick up.
Yeah.
Because I think it's open choice like that. They said, you know, you can handle the situation however you want to. You could let the crime happen. You could go down. You could beat the guy up. You could shoot him in the face. You could, you know, do whatever. And I think that is really... It looks like hero Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you're playing Grand Theft Auto, but you're like a hero or an anti-hero, and just that type. It looks fantastic, and I'm completely excited for it. What we saw at E3 couldn't make me more excited for it, because I'm already to the level of excitement that I'm maxed out on excitement for it. I'm really looking forward to it. It looks like a fantastic game, so I'm really excited about that. Destiny looked really good.
Destiny did look good.
Talk
about Halo 5, right?
I wish.
No, I'm just kidding.
I wish it was Bungie making Halo 5. That's another topic we should talk about in a little bit, though.
Halo 5.
Yeah. Not right now. I said in a little bit.
Okay. I didn't hear the end part. I thought you just said we'll talk about it a little bit. Anyway.
In a little bit.
Okay.
Destiny looked great. I heard some people saying it looked like Borderlands. not look like it, but it played like it.
I didn't. It's a puzzler, isn't it? That's what the original Destiny is.
What? Destiny? It's not a puzzler.
Oh, shit! I'm thinking of Journey.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Destiny. Okay, hold on. Let me switch gears.
Yeah, you remember when they announced Journey 2? No, we're talking about Destiny here. No,
they did announce Journey 2. Didn't they?
No.
I thought they did.
No. I haven't heard anything about it at all. It feels like something I would have heard about. Okay. I haven't heard anything about it.
Anyway.
I heard just people say they're comparing it to Borderlands just because it's like you're with friends, it's multiple weapons and all kinds.
I mean,
come on, what? It's kind of like Borderlands.
But you can compare Borderlands to like...
To like what?
Nothing.
Exactly.
No, there are a couple games.
What?
I can't think of
Borderlands 2? Yeah, you could.
Shut up. No, but you can definitely compare Borderlands to other RPGs.
Like what?
Like fucking Fable.
No, you can't. That's not even related at all.
It's not cracking. It's picking it up.
Well, no, that's not even related at all. Like, whatsoever.
I don't know.
The reason why they were being compared is because...
But, I mean, but Destiny has much more players than 4, right? I thought it was like...
Yes, at times.
Like, 80.
You can. It's an open world type of thing. It's an open world with multiple players just doing whatever. But it's not a MMORPG.
Yeah.
But it's a... I can't remember the term they described. I think it's an open world shooter. Mm-hmm. Where people are just coming into your game.
I would compare as quickly it as they leave. More to what it looks like to me is more of a multiplayer Fallout than a Borderlands to me.
I'm talking about the gameplay, not so much as like the story of it or what it looks like the just the components of it.
I'm talking about the gameplay too.
Okay, yeah. How does it look like Fallout at all?
I don't know, just... That's
yeah, you remember that... Okay, I do know what you're talking about. Remember the part when they were all fighting that one guy, and that one guy went into VATS, and he got to specifically target what he was going to shoot? I think they called it DATS in that, though. Like, Destiny.
I meant the feel of it. I don't know. Just the openness. Borderlands feels a lot more closed to me.
But yeah, the reason it's getting compared to it is just because in the gameplay demos that I've seen, it was two guys that were going through. They fought this boss that... It kind of came out, they went into this room and it kind of came out like a Borderlands type thing. He was more of a bigger guy and they were fighting him and he was going around and shooting it. And it just kind of looked like a Borderlands boss battle. And then when he dropped his loot, it was a big SMG and it had shock damage with it.
Yeah.
And when he shot it, it kind of did the shocking thing. And it just looked kind of a little bit like Borderlands.
Well, I think
I'm not saying they are related in any way. I'm not saying this is deterring from the game. It is completely different from Borderlands. When they had that community event, when it was like 20 people all fighting this one hulking robot thing, that was completely different. Yeah, but it just kind of looked like Borderlands a little bit from what I've seen. Doesn't matter to me. I'm still excited for it. Borderlands was great, so there's definitely not a problem with having another one,
yeah,
or having a game that's being compared to it, because, you know, that's not bad.
Well, what was that game that... Halo 4, you know, I feel like it's going to be a lot like Halo 4, because, you know, people from Activision came and worked on Halo 4, and there were certain parts, you know, like the bomb part at the end, spoiler, when you activate the bomb. That definitely felt like a Call of Duty type of thing.
Yeah.
And I think it's going to be more like that than like a rip-off.
Well, Halo 4 is space Call of Duty.
gosh. Let's not get into that. Let's use that as a segue. Let's talk about Halo 5.
Yeah, let's talk about Halo 5. Halo for Xbox.
Whatever.
Because it's not Halo 5.
Awesome. It looks awesome.
Oh, did you see that gameplay trailer that they had for it?
No, but...
Because I must have missed it.
The real trailer looked really cool.
Yeah, the trailer looked okay.
The thing we were most disappointed about was when the hood blew off, and it was his helmet, we were like, okay, that's really stupid.
Anyway, got interrupted again. This is the best podcast ever.
Yep.
So, continuing talking about Halo 5, which I'm going to call it Halo 5 because that's...
It's not Halo 5!
Well, should I call it Halo 7? Because, I mean, it's the 7th game in the Halo series, or 8th, I guess, with ODST, Reach, and Halo Wars, number 8.
Yeah, call it Halo 8.
Okay, I'll call it Halo 8. Anyway, you know, it looks... There has already been tons of dissection about what the story's going to be about,
yeah.
be about, and goddammit, you know, our last podcast crashed. I really should use the time between that podcast and this podcast to look up the damn name of the thing.
Oh, yeah, you should.
Because I still don't remember it. But from what it looks like is that the big giant machine is from the books.
Yeah.
And from that one cartoon that I didn't really like, the Halo cartoon.
Oh, Halo Legends?
Yeah.
Is it Legends?
Yeah, I think it's Legends.
Yeah.
I kind of liked it, but it was...
It was interesting.
I just didn't like that elite part. I didn't like the art style of that.
I did.
Yeah.
Where they were, like, Japanese samurais, and they were, like...
Yeah, it was really weird.
Yeah, it was really weird, but it wasn't bad.
But anyway, God damn it. I really wish I could remember the name. So, basically, there's this audio file in either Halo 3 or Halo 4, where there's this guy, or maybe it's on one of the... Maybe it's on, like, a CD or something. But, so basically, there's this audio file, and he says, we buried him on, they're clearing out a giant hole now to bury him in a giant machine under the sand. And what did we see in the reveal trailer? A giant fucking hole with a giant fucking machine under the sand. So I think that's what it's going to be.
You think it's going to be a giant machine?
No, I think, because, He's from the books, and so apparently what he was he is a machine that the Forerunners built to protect them against the Flood.
Right.
And this is all speculation. Let me remind that of everybody. Or to everybody. So he was built to protect against the machines, but he...
I thought he was built to protect against the Flood.
The Flood, sorry.
And he's an AI, right?
Yeah, he's an AI. And they built him to protect him against the Flood, but he turned to the Flood.
Right.
And from what I've heard, he was changed by Gravemind.
Oh, okay.
So, basically... He was,
You know what? I'm gonna tell you right now that the whole theory is wrong.
Why?
In Halo 3, you may not remember, it's not a very well-known story, but, if you go and, I think it's in, like, the second level, and you talk to these two Marines, you don't talk, they're talking, but when you listen to them talk, they're talking about Joey. And, Joey was a soldier, and he was a very, very loved soldier in the UNSC, and what happened was, he was a Warthog driver. And he loved his Warthog.
Mendidac Bias is his name.
Okay. Well, anyway, let me continue. Joey loved his Warthog, and he loved beaches. He would drive his Warthog around those sandy beaches all the time. And so what happened when he passed away, he was in a tragic accident. There was a suicide grunt, and he just didn't see it. Blew up his machine. They put him... In a machine. They enclosed him in his Warthog. They put him in his Warthog. And they went to a beach and they buried him in the sand. So I know everybody's thinking that it's going... Or the speculation is Mendidac Didact or whatever. But it's...
Bias.
Asshole. I don't care. It's Joey. It's that guy is Medicaid totally... Bias. That's it's probably maybe that guy. I don't know. But that story's about Joey. Joey is the one who is buried in the machine in the sand. Master Chief is probably just going to pay his respects.
So
yeah, that's where you're wrong. I felt I needed to point that
really
out.
I really hope people get the sarcasm about that. Oh. And we are back fucking again from another interruption. And now Jake's standing up.
Yep.
Let's talk a little bit about Mendidac Bias. I don't know how to pronounce it. He was the most advanced Forerunner AI at the time of his creation, and he was charged with organizing the Forerunner defense against the Flood before his defection to the Gravemind, who ultimately caused him to become rampant and turn against his creators. Again, what do you think? Do you think it makes sense?
Like I said, Doug, I think it's Joey, but it could be this guy. I mean, there's like a 3% chance.
Mm-hmm.
It could be him. He kind of sounds like a jerk. I mean...
He wants to repent. That's the thing. He's repenting now. Like, here's a thing. He says, for eons I've watched...
I have watched. Listen to your... You misinterpret. This is not reclamation. This is reclaimer. Benedict Bias revealing the Covenant's error. So he wants to... He's, like, obsessed with God now.
Okay.
And he, is... Here, okay. And so here, at the end of my life, I do once again betray a former master. The path ahead is fraught with peril, but I will do all I can to keep it stable, keep you safe. I'm not so foolish to think this will absolve me of my sins. One life hardly balances billions, but I would have my master know that I have changed, and you shall be my example. Benedict Bias to John 117.
Huh, okay.
So John has talked to him before.
So these guys are like buddies from back in college. They went to the same fraternity.
He was in Halo 2.
Oh, he was?
And he was a main part of the Halo 3 terminals.
Oh. Okay.
Read those.
I got the achievement for reading all the terminals. Yeah, but I don't remember them at all. I don't really remember
him. He was a couple of times in the book.
Okay.
He was in Contact Harvest, which actually I'm in the middle of reading right now, I think. Cryptium and Primordium.
I have not read any of those. So.
Me either. Maybe reading Contact Harvest, I think.
And I don't think I remember him from Halo 2 at all.
Yeah, I don't remember him from Halo 2 at all either.
Then again, my Halo 2 memory is kind of sketchy in the first place, so.
So, I think it's definitely a cool thing. They did a really cool thing on the Halo soundtrack. There's this part where it sounds like whispering on one of the songs, but if you play it backwards, it's Benedict Bias saying, I have seen God, I want to resolve my sins, stuff like that. So, it's a really, really cool Easter egg Bungie put in there. And so, I think he's going to be a crucial part of Halo 5. And yeah. I think, so, what they're speculating, because they have no idea why Benedict Bias is in Halo 5.
Yeah.
They just assume that's who it is. Which it could not be, you know. Yeah. It could be Joey. Who fuck knows. But, so, what they're speculating is that maybe, that picked up, maybe Chief... is looking for him because the Flood has returned back from another interruption.
You don't need to tell him every time.
I do need to tell him every
time. You know
what?
Why don't you just...
Because there's going to be a giant fucking cut that goes... No. Hello, everybody!
No, just edit it to where it just doesn't seem like... I heard the door slam.
Door slam.
Edit it to where make it nice and smooth. Okay?
Anyway,
just make
so
it
let's
nice
continue talking. So, people really have no idea why Benedict Bias is going to be in Halo 5.
Well, from that information, probably the Flood is coming back, right?
Right. Or he is the only... Because he has all this vast knowledge of the Flood.
Yeah, okay.
And he's a extremely smart AI.
Yeah, okay.
So, they think either, one, the Flood's come back, or two, he's the only... He is the only thing that knows how to cure Cortana.
Well, wait, how long... He's an AI, right?
Yeah.
How long has he been underground?
Like 100,000 years. He is...
But I thought AIs had only a lifespan of like 8 years.
Not Forerunner AI.
Oh, okay, yeah, okay.
Yeah, he was made in 100,000 BCE.
Oh, okay.
Which is...
That explains
before
it.
Before Christ.
Okay, I thought he was like a human-made AI, and was just like, well, then how did he live so long? That's impossible. That's... Halo 4 would directly contradict that. But yeah, okay, he's a 400. Okay, I got it.
Well, all Halo would directly contradict that.
Yeah.
That's a big thing in Halo 3, too.
Yeah. Okay.
But, so, that's what they're assuming right now. And I think that could definitely be a cool story.
That would be a cool story, but then it would kind of make... I understand it, but then, like, it just makes Chief kind of seem like a depressed loser.
Well, he's... The thing about Chief, I think, is that he's basically insane.
Yeah.
And that's why we or at least I did. I'm pretty sure you loved it, but the opening scene of Halo 5, which just made Chief almost seem like a murderer or an insane person, you know. And that's all he knows is
I don't remember the opening scene of Halo 5.
It was the interrogator talking to Dr. Halsey.
Are you talking about Halo 4?
Sorry, Halo 4.
Okay.
It definitely shows another side of Chief, you know.
Yeah.
And so the, you know, or all Spartans, really. I mean, all they know is, you know, and Chief, you know, with Halo 4 coming out, there being new Spartans, Chief is definitely now a old Spartan, in a way. I mean, he's going to have some defects that the new Spartans don't. So, there's been speculation, because it has been shown that Chief disobeys UNSC for Cortana. So, that's a big thing, is maybe that's why he's wearing the cloak, because he doesn't want to be seen by the UNSC.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe he's running from the UNSC now.
Yeah. You know what I hope the next Halo opens up a little bit?
What?
Why we are at war with the elites again.
It still makes no sense.
Something happened and now we're fucking pissed off at them.
Like, it's not like it... I would understand it if, for whatever reason, Chief could live forever and it was like 50 fucking years. Okay, we're at the... But it's been like 2 years.
It reminds me of like remember way before any announcements of Halo 4 ever?
Yeah.
And it was just Halo 3, and it was like maybe a year or two after Halo 3 had come out. All those videos of like parodies that are just going to be like Halo 4, and it was just Spartans versus Elites. And like, I remember seeing a video, and one of the captions under it was Halo 4, start a new fight. Just to have another Halo game. And then Halo 4 came out, and it was kind of like that. It's kind of like, oh yeah, we're fighting the Elites again, you know, for just, you know,
for whatever reason.
They're fucking aliens.
Yeah.
It's just like, well, maybe it might explain it in Spartan Ops.
Yeah, well, yeah.
But I don't know. Finished. I haven't played much of that at all.
I don't think it does, though. Because I looked up on the internet, why the fuck are the UNSC... Like, a couple days ago.
Yeah.
Why are the UNSC fighting the Elites? And there was nothing.
Yeah.
But it might somewhere be explained, maybe, in the books.
Well, then again, Halo, it was going to be a new trilogy.
Yeah.
It's now a saga.
It.
So...
I think that's better. I really do.
Yeah, it definitely gives 343 some room to expand it and maybe make some and games not so much centric about Master Chief, but more about different
Spartans. Let's talk a little bit about Halo 4. What do you think of Halo 4?
I loved Halo 4. It was fantastic. It was great. It was a great addition to the Halo series. It was 10 out of 10 game.
I mean, you and I were both extremely impressed.
Yeah, it was... I thought the opening cutscene was completely just live action.
Yeah, no. Yeah, and when I was like, no, that's a computer, Jake. And you were like...
No, it's not. You're fucking stupid. Yeah. Put on your glasses. And then I leaned in and squinted, and I was like, holy shit!
Yeah. It was great, though.
Yeah, the story was great.
The Elites looked amazing, too.
Yeah, everything looked elite, and everything. Everything was good.
They look scary again.
Yeah.
That was a cool thing.
Yeah, these Forerunners definitely posed more of a threat than they did in 3. And I was just like, oh.
You mean the Elites?
Yeah, that's what I meant. The Elites, not the Forerunners. The Forerunners did pose a great threat, though.
Yeah.
They were pretty fucking scary.
I think it had a good ending, too.
Yeah, it provided
some It just made Chief closure. Seem... I think the ending scene... You know, a lot of people give the ending scene shit because it showed Chief's eyes.
Yeah.
And I thought it was great. I really did, because, you know, Chief was kind of... When they were taking off the armor of Chief, Chief was just kind of sitting there, and he was like, I don't care. You know, I'm...
Yeah.
You know, who gives a shit? And then it showed his eyes, and they were like... Either depressed or angry eyes, you know? Yeah. I mean, they were...
I would definitely say more depressed, seeing as what he, like, just went through.
Yeah.
But, yeah,
And the thing is that I felt with that scene is, well, yeah, he's depressed about what he just went through, but he's been through that shit like that so many times now.
Yeah.
You know?
Just tired of it all.
Just tired.
Yeah. You know? I definitely would say Halo 4 did a great job of making Chief feel more human, more like a character.
Yeah.
Instead of what Bungie was going to do and make it say, oh, look, this is you. You are this character. Because that's originally what they were intending to do without showing his face.
Yeah.
So you could identify more as yourself with the character. But with Halo 4, it made me feel like... It just doesn't feel like I'm identifying with the character so much, and Chief is more his own character. He's a guy with his own feelings and his own thoughts.
Yeah.
Which I thought was great.
And I thought what was great was... It really showed him as a human, in a way. As a fucked up person that's been through war so many times, you know. And even before the Halo games, you know, I mean, we have him on Reach, you know, and that's a fucked up story of him seeing all his comrades die, you know.
Yeah.
And him being the last Spartan, you know, and just it really showed
the ending of Halo Reach. Not so much the last little like bonus level thing where you're just fighting off all the elites. I thought that was so great.
Yeah,
that really made me happy. And then the final ending when you are, I don't remember who it is, but whoever picks up the helmet and they look at it.
I don't remember that.
You don't remember that? That was like the coolest thing. It's like after that happens, and then I think it's like 20 years later or something. somebody's walking along and they pick up your helmet and the visor is broken.
I just remember the eagle landing.
You don't remember it?
Are you fucking with...
No, I'm not. You don't remember this?
No. Not at all.
You're fucking stupid.
I don't remember
this. Unless eagle. I'm remembering wrong, but I don't think I am. Maybe the camera just pans out and it shows it in the ground broken.
Yeah, that's what happens.
Oh, well, I meant that then. Someone doesn't pick it up. I just remember there being a voiceover at that point. I think it's Halsey.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, there's no person that picks it up. The eagle lands on it.
You
know what?
Fuck you.
The eagle lands on it at the
end. An eagle lands on it?
Yeah.
Okay, I don't remember that at all.
Or no, wait, maybe that was the proposed legendary ending. Yeah, because there was no in Halo Reach, there was no difference. Yeah, it just pans out and it shows it's like desert and then it goes to the glass and then it's, yeah.
And then it's grassy.
But then I listened to it was grassy at the end, and I listened to a commentary about it from the Bungie Studios, and they said what they wanted to do, because they had no difference between the legendary ending and the normal ending.
Yeah.
And what they wanted to do, but they just didn't, was have an eagle land on the helmet, or some type of bird.
Oh, okay.
And be like, "Kah!" You know, type of thing.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. I messed up. My bad.
But, our bad, because I messed up too.
Well, yeah, but still, it's...
What do you think the most badass person who died was?
Probably fucking everyone. Yeah. Except for Kat. Kat didn't die in a badass way.
Yeah, but that made it, I mean...
That was the saddest death, I feel.
Yeah, that made it so real, was just like, anybody can die anytime.
Spartans aren't these immortal people.
Yeah.
They're still human.
Yeah, I think it was great because it was, you know, the beginning scene, or the beginning, you know, dialogue was Carter? Was that the leader's name?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Carter saying, Spartans don't die, they just go MIA.
Yeah.
And then it's like, Kat is just like... Dead. You know, it's like, oh, shit.
Yeah, I remember going through that, and I just stared dumbfounded at the screen. I like how she was in the
middle of a sentence, too.
Yeah.
And it was like...
And I was just like... Fuck. I was just like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a...
Was she wearing her helmet, too?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she was.
Yeah.
And then they took it off, and then he was just like, rest in peace, kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Everyone died in that game in a really cool way. Like, with Carter fucking smashing the pelican into the...
Yeah.
Scarab.
Scarab.
That was really good. And then, George with his... George just... I don't know. That whole scene with him, like, picking me up.
Yeah, that was awesome.
And, like, holding the dog tag and then pushing me out. It just, like...
That's what I thought was...
So much respect.
Was really, really cool about Halo Reach was the customizable character.
Yeah.
I thought that... I think Reach is my favorite Halo. Mostly for that reason.
You're weird.
Why? What do you think? What's your favorite Halo?
3.
Really?
Yeah. For the number one had a better story though.
Number one?
Yes.
Yeah, I can get on that. But
Reach definitely wasn't a bad game, and it wasn't a bad addition to the Halo series. It was great, though. But I really
like the story because I'm the type of person, you know, that loves lore in a way. You know?
Yeah.
Like I love the games that are like current events, but I love past stuff too. Like I love the Old Republic and Star Wars.
Yeah.
You know, and I love Warcraft over World of Warcraft in a way, because it's what happens before, you know, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, stuff like that. I can't really think of many others, but yeah.
Yeah, I really like the Old Republic too. Old Republic is probably my favorite thing about Star Wars.
All right, so what's our next topic that we want to talk about?
Let's see. We've covered video games, favorite things. Yeah, I didn't really talk about as much games as I wanted to about E3 because I really...
We can talk about it next time too.
Yeah, we can talk about it next time.
We don't want to go over.
I think. Android consoles. How do you feel about the Ouya?
There's definitely been an influx of Android consoles now.
Yeah.
And definitely people jumping on the bandwagon of the Ouya, which fucking failed in my opinion.
Yeah, Mad Catz is doing their own console, and I heard of another one that's coming around.
Yeah.
Which I think is a terrible idea, because the Ouya is flopping.
Yeah, it is definitely flopping.
It's terrible. I mean, terrible.
You know, yeah, they basically, they, like you said to me, they took the tablet out of a tablet.
Yeah.
You know, and it's disappointing. I mean, I was sucking the dick of the Ouya really hard.
Yeah.
When it was first coming
out. I was really...
I was like, blown away by it.
I was pretty excited about it on Kickstarter, and I was like, oh, I'm totally going to give these people my money. That seems cool. And then it's just fucking terrible.
Yeah.
It's gross. It's so bad. It's
It's not that it's bad, it's just, like, nothing is new about it. It's just there. It's like, who cares?
I already have a phone, so why would I buy a phone that can't be a phone?
But let's talk about something that is cool now, because of the price going down by $100, is the
NVIDIA Shield.
NVIDIA Project Shield.
Yeah.
I think with the price set of $299 now, $259 or whatever.
It's $299.
$299, yeah. I think it's much more relevant.
Yeah, that's definitely probably going to be a major handheld console point. Like, if you don't have a handheld console and you want one,
buy
the Shield.
Because, it's
fantastic. It's a wonderful idea.
In a way, you don't need a gaming PC now, because now you just have to download the game.
Yeah.
And then it just streams it to the NVIDIA Shield.
Yeah, and you play it through your Shield, which is awesome.
And then, plus, you got a tablet, too.
Yeah.
And a good tablet.
Yeah. And I think that's great. I think it's like, what the Vita?
Yeah.
It's basically that.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to be, like, the Vita is going to be to the PS4, with the NVIDIA Shield is going to be to PC.
Yeah.
Because with the Vita, they're going to have it. Excuse me. They're going to have all of the. They're asking developers to do it to include. Being able to play any game on your PS4 on your Vita.
Right. And I think what could be really cool is, with all the support that Xbox is giving to the Android now, or tablets.
Yeah, which is
general,
so nice.
It'd be nice to use the Project Shield, too, for the Xbox.
I don't know if that's going to happen, but if Xbox doesn't do it, that would be kind of stupid.
Yeah.
Like, they should do that.
They'd miss a huge
opportunity. That would be an opportunity for them to start competing against the PS4 market.
Yeah.
I think that would be a great idea.
Yeah, one of the things that I'm excited for is the command thing on Battlefield.
Yeah.
I love commanding stuff.
Yeah, that looked really cool.
Yeah, the only thing is you really need some close friends to play it with you.
Yeah, that would be the thing, because if you're in a chat lobby with a bunch of random people and a four-year-old kid using the commander thing, and he's like, oh, worry, I'll mortar strike him.
Or if you're the commander and there's a four-year-old kid on your squad, and you're
just
fucking do what I tell you to do, come on.
Trust me, I'm trying to score the points, I'm trying to make this a team effort, you're being an asshole.
And one cool thing is, from what I saw, it doesn't have to be on a tablet, too.
Is it going to be on phones?
No, it can be on the Xbox.
Oh, yeah, that's right. They said you can do it in the game.
Yeah.
You don't even have to be on a tablet.
Yeah, which I think is...
awesome.
Awesome. I mean, it's better than just having it for the tablet.
Yeah, that reminds me of Dust 541.
Yeah.
Or I don't remember what it is. I think it's either 514 or 541.
Yeah.
But, when you're playing that, you can have somebody on EVE online.
Yeah, which is cool.
Go to the battlefield.
Which EVE is an interesting game.
But it's that type of game where you pay to work.
Yeah.
So, if you like that, then go ahead.
Still cool.
It's still cool that you can, talk to a friend who's in the EVE universe to come and mortar strike whatever you want. That's really cool.
Yeah.
I think that's awesome, and I hope to see that they do more stuff like that in the future.
The integration, I think, is cool.
Yeah, yeah. It's definitely a good idea. Makes them more... It's just cool.
Yeah.
Makes the game more fun.
With all this inflow, I mean, the Ouya, I don't care.
Yeah.
Only thing I was really impressed with was how small it is, but Raspberry Pis already exist.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's like a 2 gigabyte console.
Yeah.
I think, or whatever the specs are, they're not the most impressive. Which, Project Shield is not exactly impressive either. It's like 2 gigabytes.
Yeah.
And it's like 5x5, I think, is the screen.
Yeah.
It's a small tablet, but it's still relevant.
How does it stream?
It streams.
Does it use the does the computer run the game?
It uses minimal computer, I believe.
Oh, okay.
Like it's very small amount of computer.
Okay.
I think it's like half. So like I have like an 8-core PC,
Yeah.
And it would use like 2 of my cores to run the game.
Oh, okay.
And the rest would be on the Shield.
Okay.
I think.
Well, either way, it looks like a stunning idea, and I hope it works well.
The only problem that I have with it, though, is it's not relevant to me right now, because you need a NVIDIA video card, and I have an AMD card, because I'm an AMD fanboy.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, then it's not relevant to me either, because I'm going to get an AMD PC.
Yeah.
I much prefer AMD video cards.
I think it's going to be available through Steam, but... You won't be able... I think, like, I'll still be able to use it for Steam.
Okay.
But
games outside of Steam, you're not going to be able to work?
Yeah, outside of Steam is not going to be able to work.
Yeah, okay. That makes sense.
But now I just remember that. Yeah, it's not... But I think it's more relevant because NVIDIA is the winner right now.
Yeah.
In the PC market.
Yeah.
Because you know you go pick up most PCs at like Best Buy or something like that. It's gonna have a NVIDIA card, not a AMD card. My voice just cracked, but.
Okay, so let's move on to another topic.
What's next?
TV shows.
TV shows.
Yeah. And along with TV shows, the South Park RPG.
You know, that was a thing I am... Oh, God, I'm so excited for it. And you said in the last podcast we recorded, which was exactly true, I got fucking giddy about it. And I do not get giddy about games.
Yeah, you don't get overhyped. Really you don't get super giddy about stuff.
And I was like me. Yeah, I was like bouncing in my seat.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, my God. You were
really happy about it.
And I have a poster now. And, you know, analyzing the poster, it looks like they're going to have a lot of cool shit. It looks like they're even going to have the Sean Connery dragon what was it called? Imagination Land.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because you look at the console, they have the far right, they have the Sean Connery parody dragon from Imagination Land.
We're currently looking at the Game Informer poster.
Yeah, and they got Satan, which obviously they would have Satan.
Yeah.
You know, they got Man Bear Pig. Also from Imagination Land, they got the crab people, which I would assume they would have that. They got Jesus, which also I would assume they have. And I love South Park. I like the
E3 showing of the Nagasaki fart. I thought that was pretty funny. Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
Oh yeah, they showed Stan's dad, which I can't remember his name now, which I feel like you're spacing it to.
Randy.
Yeah, Randy. He's in a karate outfit, and he's teaching, I believe to be your character, how to do the Nagasaki fart.
Was that at the C3?
Yes.
Oh, because I thought they didn't reveal anything for it, and I was really disappointed.
No, it was only a trailer, but it was the reason it was shown is because it got bought by Ubisoft. Yeah. And that's why they wanted to show it, that it's still being worked on, and it's coming later this year, I think. And they didn't give a specific date, but later this year, I believe they said. But yeah, they showed Randy, and he's like, if you do it correctly, the enemy should wave their hand in front of their nose, and then make it like a face like of dislike. And it was just really funny. It looked good, and I that's the thing about this RPG. I feel
almost,
like
from the gameplay that I've seen, it almost looks like South Park Pokemon in a way.
Yeah. From what I saw, or Final Fantasy. I don't know if anybody has ever played what's the game I'm thinking of? It's on the Xbox Live Arcade. It's about Halloween, and I don't remember the name of it. You remember? It's an RPG where
is it South Park?
No, it's not South Park. It's something different. And so. you transform
Candy Quest.
Yeah, right? Candy Quest. Yeah. From what I saw, it kind of looked like.
I was like, what the fuck are you talking?
It kind of looked like it played like that.
Yeah, which was an awesome game.
Which you that game, that I game. Fucking I that game
played
was
that game in like one day and got all the achievements.
Yeah, it's a really fun game. It's really good. I definitely recommend playing that game if you haven't heard of it or played it. It's like $15. Maybe it's 10
it's from
bucks.
Oh, gosh, what's his name?
Double Fine, I think.
Yeah, Double Fine.
Double Fine.
Awesome.
They make some good games.
I still want to play The Cave. I thought that was really funny. Yeah. I played the demo, and I couldn't get past the first puzzle.
It's not so much funny. The characters don't talk.
Yeah, but the narrator.
The narrator is a pretty funny guy.
Funny from what I've seen.
Yeah. I actually have it, and I haven't played that much of it. But so far, it doesn't seem like a bad game. It's not really it's not like a great game, but it's definitely not bad. It actually has co-op, so we should maybe think about playing that.
Maybe.
But yeah, the thing is about it, it looks like it has similar gameplay to Candy Quest, which I love. The gameplay was fantastic for that.
Mm-hmm.
And with South Park, I know this is an RPG that's going to be freaking hilarious. I know it's going to make me laugh. I know it's going to have that South Park comedy that I love so much that makes, you know, that's kind of over the top and a little bit, you know, raunchy and stuff. So I'm definitely looking forward to playing it. Plus, the character customization looks incredible.
Yeah, and the story behind it looks cool, too.
Yeah, the story looks awesome. It's definitely going to be a game to where you feel like you're playing an episode of South Park.
Yeah.
And it's just going to be great. I'm really excited for it.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people didn't necessarily love the tower defense game, but I fucking love that game.
Yeah,
I haven't gotten to play Tatterman's Revenge yet.
Oh, yeah?
I just got to play the demo because I can't afford it yet.
I know it didn't do bad. It actually did fairly good.
Yeah, another thing, you know, that I'm really excited for. Fuck off! I don't want another interruption. I'm
don't
not
say anything.
It.
Go.
So what's our next topic though?
Well, I was going to actually influx into the popular TV show and cult fandom of My Little Pony.
Yeah.
And I wanted to let everybody know that we are bronies. Mm-hmm. And so I hope that doesn't affect anyone to where they don't want to listen to our podcast or don't want to watch our show.
If you don't like bronies, just stop listening right now.
Yeah, this is pretty much the end of the gaming part of the podcast, I would say, because we're going to probably finish off on this. But yeah, we are both bronies. We both love the show very much. And it's just a wonderful show, wonderful animation, wonderful community.
You guys are and butt faces.
That was a girl, by the way. I just want to say, by her manly voice and her gross appearance, that was my sister.
So, with My Little Pony, I feel like the haters hate way too much on it, because I'm a person who is very open to childish things. I love Pixar movies. I love Disney movies.
Yeah, and that was a big point to me.
Yeah.
That I made. It's like, everybody gets fucking giddy as shit when a Pixar movie comes. Yeah. All adults love Pixar.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's around the same thing. I mean, it's a girlier type of...
It's not that girly. But the girliest thing about it is its theme song,
yeah,
I would say.
Well, yeah, and it's just, it's on a base level, it's a girl show.
Yeah, it is.
But it's a, how could you ever stop loving some of that cartoon?
Yeah, you can't, and it's just, it feels nostalgic, even though I haven't seen any of the previous My Little Pony shows, but it feels nostalgic just to, get really excited. It's like, oh man, it's Saturday, ponies are gonna come on, I gotta hurry up and go watch this, it's a new episode, and I talk about it with all my friends.
And you're definitely a lot more obsessed with the show.
Yeah.
You stopped being so obsessed.
I like to take a break between the seasons.
Yeah, between the seasons. But I'm definitely more of a...
Between the long, harsh seasons.
I'm definitely more of a in-between,
Yeah.
I don't participate much in the fandom. I mean, the most thing that I've gotten into the fandom is Fallout Equestria.
Yeah.
Because we both love Fallout. And it took you, two or three months to read that. To read Fallout Equestria. And you introduced that to me and I read it in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's like a 1500 page book.
Yeah, it's definitely it's such a great book. It's such a great story. I don't like fan fictions, but I took a chance on it and it got me into fan fictions.
Yeah.
So now I actually read a bit more fan fictions than I used to.
Yeah.
But it's such a wonderful... If you're a brony and you like Fallout, I definitely recommend you read this fanfiction.
Even if you don't like Fallout, it's just a good thing.
Even if you don't like Fallout, it's wonderful.
You don't necessarily even have to get
it. It's a little grimdark.
It's really grimdark, not a little.
Well,
there's like rape scenes in it.
Well, kind of. It's kind of implied, but it's kind of not. Well, yeah, it never mind. It's really implied.
Yeah.
But no, it doesn't happen. Yeah. Exactly in the same
and
time.
Even
in the story.
If you're not a brony, I mean, if you can just get over...
Yeah, if you're not a brony,
if you can get over the... I hate the dialogue that people, every pony, fuck me. I hate that normally.
Yeah.
But if you can get over that in the story like I did, it's just a great story.
If you are interested in reading a story and you can imagine just every time they say pony to person, read this book. Read this fan fiction. It's fantastic.
It's about flying people and...
Yeah, just imagine the people that can fly and imagine people have magic. But yeah, it's just wonderful. It's so great. And it's... sparked my love for fan fiction reading after that, because actually then at that point I was like, well, you know what, if this fan fiction is good, maybe my preconceived notions that all fan fictions are bad, maybe that's wrong.
Yeah.
So I looked into it a little more, and there's actually quite a few good stories out there.
My favorite fan fiction, I think, is Candy Factory.
You mean Rainbow Factory?
Yeah,
right. Yeah, you messed that up.
Okay.
Rainbow Factory isn't a bad one.
What? Factory was the fucking one where they grind up ponies.
Well, they do, but it's really grimdark, but it's not... the idea isn't bad for a grimdark story, but I don't know. It's not the best written one out there. If you like grimdark, then, that wouldn't be bad to read. I personally don't care that much for it.
I don't
think it's a stupid idea.
Whatever.
I like the innocence of the show, but
it's
I'm not gonna...
Yeah, it's a good show.
Right? I don't like the bronies who say, "Oh, I don't want to read those grimdark ones because they just ruined this whole show for me." And I'm like,
"Well, the thing is that there are some bronies that are just so obsessed with the show,
yeah,
it's annoying."
I do agree there that sometimes there's a level of obsession that you can't really cross.
Yeah,
and they do cross it, and it's just like, listen, I love the show as much as the next brony, but I'm not gonna devote my body, mind, and soul to it.
I got really nothing else to talk about if you want to wrap this up.
Yeah, I suppose I'll wrap it up. I would say this next part, for any bronies still listening, this is going to take, you know, I'm going to mention Equestria Girls here. So if you have not seen it yet, do not listen past this point. But yeah, I actually saw Equestria Girls,
mm-hmm.
and it was wonderful. I really enjoyed it. A lot of people are like, oh my god, this is the end of the fandom. This is the end of My Little Pony.
You thought it looked stupid when it first...
I think, here's the thing. I think the character designs still look stupid.
Yeah.
I don't think they look good.
But it's a good... Let's just talk a couple minutes about it, because I haven't seen it, so...
Yeah, I think the story was good. I think the way it was implemented was...
making me hungry.
Yeah, well, we can eat a little bit. But yeah, the story was definitely well written for My Little Pony. It was good. I really enjoyed it. I do hope it actually gets a spinoff series. So I'm actually really excited for that.
So recommend?
I would definitely recommend. If you're a brony, give it a chance. Just watch it.
Give it a chance.
You don't have to like it, but I liked it. I think it was great for a My Little Pony story.
Great.
And
so let's talk a little bit about
season 4.
Well, we could talk about that next time. We gotta wrap up. We gotta head out soon anyway.
Oh yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
You want to just release the podcast schedule?
Yeah,
and
let's
talk
just
about
talk
this
about
next
the podcast
time?
Schedule. So. Podcast schedule, we want to talk every weekend.
Every weekend.
We're not going to say every Friday, every Saturday, or every Sunday.
It's probably going to be in that general day space.
So it's
going to
be in the weekend.
Yeah.
Because that's most likely when we can record.
Yeah.
And we're also probably going to have guests on at some point.
Yeah,
we have a lot of friends
who are gamers, and you know, some of them are bronies, some of them are not, but we have a lot of gamers who are definitely excited about the upcoming
And we're
console.
Excited about this. You know, this... This so
yeah,
far has seemed like the funnest thing that we've done with the channel.
Yeah, it's well, you know, this is really like the only thing we've done with the channel since we're really just starting. But we are definitely excited to get out there in the community and just explore and talk with people.
You know, even if we got, you know,
I would be 10 people
super,
who watch our show.
Yeah, or I would be, you know, I'd be giddy with 100 subscribers, you know.
I would be giddy with 5.
Yeah, I mean, just talk to us, guys, you know, talk to us.
Yeah, you know, if you just... I don't know, you want to relax and play some games and watch some people play some games or play with us.
Hey,
and,
yeah, we'll have
to... Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming we'll probably be playing Battlefield with some of these guys or
some
multiplayer game.
Yeah, so, this will probably be on iTunes. It'll definitely be on YouTube. So if you're listening to this on iTunes or wherever, you want to check out our YouTube channel. It's youtube.com/gamerswithglasses. You can also like us on our Facebook page, Gamers with Glasses. We just started that up, like 10 minutes before this podcast. We also have an official logo now, which is awesome. So,
the most simplistic logo ever, but we're really happy about it.
It is really cool to me. I don't know why, but it's awesome. So,
I just want to point out a minor mistake. The YouTube page is The Gamers with Glasses.
Right, that's right.
The Gamers. The is important because it's like 3 letters, and you're not going to probably not find us unless you know, include those letters. So, yeah. Everybody have an awesome day, night, you know, whatever.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening. And
you're like most people, or if you're like me and you're listening to this while playing a video game, we just want to say congratulations on getting that last achievement. Or, hey, Bob, you know, if you're listening, Bob, I don't know who Bob is, but thanks for listening, Bob. It's going to be really creepy if some guy is named Bob. Thanks,
Henry. No, it's going to be really awesome because, like, our first subscriber is going to be like, hey, my name's Bob.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So, thanks for watching, everybody.
So,
have a good day.